Welcome to Intel on AI, a podcast series that brings you the latest on cutting-edge tech driving artificial intelligence in the enterprise today. And now your hosts, Derek Osborne and Emily Hudson.
Hello and welcome. My name is Emily Hudson, and this is another edition of the Intel on AI podcast. We are still missing our co-host, Derek Osborne, who's on paternity leave. Today, our guest is Carlos Pazos, who is the Product Marketing Manager at Spark Cognition. Welcome, Carlos.
Thank you, Emily.
Carlos is joining us from sunny, beautiful Austin, Texas, home of some of the best barbecue around. Don't get mad, Kansas City. Carlos, what do you do for Spark Cognition, and what kind of solutions are you developing over there?
Absolutely, Emily. So as you mentioned, I'm a Product Marketing Manager for a couple of technologies here. The first one is automated model building, and the second one is natural language processing. And actually, these two are core components of the products that we have here at Spark Cognition. So one of the main ones that we have is more on how to enable people that has zero experience with data science. And in general, what we're trying to achieve here as a company is to make the translation between artificial intelligence as a science to something more tangible and real, and that has to do with the productization of it. And that's pretty much what we do at Spark Cognition. That's what we're brewing here.
Excellent. So talk to me about some of the model building platforms that you are using to build these model architectures.
We have a series of solutions for cybersecurity, predictive maintenance, and optimization of workflows. And as you can imagine, we have an army of data scientists here as well. But very quickly, we realized that they were hitting some roadblocks in terms of trying to deliver solutions as fast as possible. And we saw internally that need of making our teams more efficient. So we created an internal process on how to automate the optimization of models. And this lies in the area of automated machine learning. We created our own flavor based on neuroevolution, essentially to make our people more efficient. But quickly we realized as well that this technology could be useful for other people, right? And essentially our customers started asking, like, hey, how do you use Spark Cognition can deliver so fast in this kind of artificial intelligence projects? And how are you enabling your teams to do so? Because we also have data scientists, right? We also have people that need to operate on the science. And that's how we created this product called Darwin, which at its core is automated machine learning. But now we are expanding that concept a little bit more in terms of going end-to-end model lifecycle. So we are trying to cover multiple areas in this model lifecycle. But the philosophy behind it is to do it in such a way that someone with zero experience in machine learning could actually use it, right? So think about people in marketing, in sales, like business analysts, like software developers, et cetera, that do not necessarily have the experience with machine learning, but are required to use the science for XYZ reasons. We are putting all these technologies in place in such a way that they are almost like the toolbox of machine learning, right? Like just click, 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 select a configuration, and you're ready to go, right? And this is the way we are empowering people.
That's really interesting. I was just going to ask you, how much data science experience is required to use your platforms? But it sounds like you are really using Spark Cognition to make machine learning models available for a much wider audience.
Truly, you don't need to have a lot of experience, probably zero experience. We are enabling this concept of the citizen data scientist, right? And myself, I consider myself a citizen data scientist. I have more an engineering background. But as of today, because of this kind of technologies, I'm able to use the science and able to make data-driven decisions, right? Without necessarily having to go through a formal training for data science. And this is critical when it comes to organizations. Not all of them that have this fantastic scenario where they have a dedicated team of innovation with a collection of data scientists ready to go. And if they haven't, it's usually a very small team. What ends up happening is that these teams of data scientists, they are overwhelmed. They are dealing with a lot of projects. There are projects in their pipeline that probably they never even touch, right? So it's a game of productivity. So when it comes to the product that we're realizing, yes, it's focused on people with no experience for them to make use of the science, and we call it self-service data science to be self-sufficient when it comes to that regard. So they don't have to go to the data science team or the people in charge of doing machine learning in their organization. And on the other hand, for data scientists, they're also users of our product. The product is we designed in such a way that if you want to get into all the details of how automated machine learning works, like the hyperparameters, the algorithms that are being used, the cross-validation methods used, et cetera, data scientists can get to that level. So it's very flexible and actually can impact both sides of the spectrum.
Talk to me a little bit about how you are doing the optimizations. What kind of platforms are you working on?
As you can imagine, this concept of automated machine learning requires a lot of processing power because it's not just the sake of finding an algorithm, but actually you have to start doing things before that, right? So you have to look at the process from the data perspective. And when it comes from the data perspective, the first thing that you would like to do is to identify what kind of problems or potential issues your data set has, right? And being able to provide suggestions on how to address those issues and actually implement that pre-processing of data to make the data ready for the automated machine learning process. That first step is actually super time consuming. The second step that is very time consuming is the optimization of the algorithm itself. Here at Spark Cognition, specifically for Darwin, we use a neuroevolution-based approach in which we are actually creating from scratch neural network architectures. And this is the most flexible machine learning algorithm that we have as of today, right? But being able to figure out the number of layers, the number of units, if we're going to have a specific activation functions or back feedbacks optimization, et cetera, all this stuff, it's almost like art. But using a neuroevolutionary algorithm to find out the right architecture topology is something that requires a lot of resources as well. So we are basing these tasks on CPUs, and specifically, we have decided to use Intel technology. When it comes to these optimized products, first, from the processing side of things, the second generation Xeon processor requires a lot of capabilities, and it's pretty much ubiquitous across all the cloud platforms that we support. But something that was very critical for us was to make this jump into Intel's platform. And to able to do that, we use heavily the message parsing interface, their MPI. And the MPI, what it's allowing us to do is to take our existing model creation code and being able to deploy it in a parallel way across all these different processing elements. Now, from our perspective, making this jump was extremely straightforward in such a way that we just gave the code to the MPI as a new process. And literally from our side, it was a change of about 5 lines of code to make it work. So we made this transition super efficiently. Now, our final users, they don't see all these integrations, but what they see is the level of performance that now we can achieve. So these two processes that I was talking about, the part of being able to clean your data, prepare your data set, and make it ready for the machine learning process, and second, being able to find more possibilities within the spectrum of all the different combination of algorithms out there for machine learning and being able to try more combinations in less time, that's when they see the benefits of Darwin running on this architecture.
That's so exciting. You know, I think our audience is pretty familiar with Intel Xeon Scalable processors, but we know we haven't really talked much about Intel MPI technology. So I'm glad that we are making it easy for you to integrate these tools as you are making it as easy for your customers to use machine learning models. I know that you have solutions that really span a wide range of use cases. Can you give some specific examples of how customers are actually deploying your machine learning models?
So when it comes to the industries that we serve, like we do a lot of work in financial services, we do a lot of work in telecommunications, but also as a company, we have a very industrial background because of other products that we have, mostly in the energy area, so utilities, oil and gas, but also in the national defense and security areas. So we work a lot with the government. We work a lot with commercial airlines as well. Now, specifically from the Darwin perspective, when it comes to use cases, we are truly going after use cases that represent back office optimizations, right? The classic use case for machine learning that you can think of, specifically in industries like oil and gas or utilities, is the predictive maintenance scenario. That's something that has been done, and we actually do it as well, very well. But we are going beyond that. We're going beyond like, hey, let's solve problems like customer churn, let's solve problems like, hey, let's forecast what is the demand that you're going to require in your smart grid so you can make more efficient use of your resources. Or in financial services, for instance, let's do customer segmentation. Let's actually automate the approval of loans or credits, predict who actually going to default on those credits, and how we can optimize pricing for the next round of people to come. So these kind of scenarios are not necessarily the first scenarios that you think of when you hear about machine learning, but are definitely very real scenarios that have real return of investment. And people in these industries are very interested in. So you see now that even in energy companies, machine learning is not just for the operations team, but it's also for the people in marketing, for the people in sales, for the people trying to optimize now the business side of things. And that is what we're focusing on with this automated machine learning technology called Darwin, to be able to enable these people now in these different business units that do not necessarily have a technical background, and give them the power of machine learning and the tools and the explainability and the ease of use for them to make use of their own data and start making decisions based on that data.
Wonderful. Now, I understand that Spark Cognition is a member of the Intel AI Builders program. Can you give a little bit of information about how that membership is working out for you?
That is correct. So we are proud members of Intel AI Builders program. It's been fantastic from the technical perspective, but also from the business / marketing perspective. From the technical perspective, I already commented, like being able to have the level of support and integration when it comes to using the technologies, the MPI, and being able to have our code optimized for the second generation Xeon processors. It's been fantastic, the level of support that we have received from Intel in terms of guiding us on how to do these things, running the tests, and actually being able to provide results. As a matter of fact, thanks to these integrations, we have observed in these processes that I was talking before, the neural architecture search, hyperparameter optimization, and actually also the cleaning of data, around 45x increase in performance just by doing this. So that's a huge part of the membership. The other part is the exposure. Artificial intelligence, as it is today, is actually on the majority by small companies like Spark Cognition. And being able to have the support of Intel to increase our exposure and being able to reach out to more customers, it's been fantastic. And then this includes like going to trade shows, like creating publications together, et cetera. That is a lot of value for us from the marketing and sales perspective. So all in all, this AI Builders program, I think it's a fantastic option, not just for smaller companies to be able to have more exposure and reach out, but also to advance the science, to make sure that whatever that you are creating as a startup, a smaller company, is actually going to be optimized and it's going to be able to provide the level of results and efficiency that is expected in that market. And that only comes with the marriage of what we're doing with our IP, but how that IP is being utilized on the processing elements, in this case, Intel's processing elements.
Carlos, that's great to hear that the Intel AI Builders program has had such a benefit for you as a member. For listeners who want to find out more about Spark Cognition and the solutions you're providing, where should they go?
Absolutely. So if you want to learn more about automated machine learning and specifically how we're doing it, please go to sparkcognition.com/Darwin.
Thanks so much, Carlos. It's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. My name is Emily Hudson, and this is another edition of the Intel on AI podcast.